That brings me to my second reminder. Who controls the present controls the past. Who controls the past controls the future. Now apply that to you, not just to the world in general, but to you. Only when you take control of your life now and the present, this now is the only time you can live, right now, this moment. If you can take control of that, you can also take control of your past and your future. Who controls the present controls the past. Glenn, you're an attorney, and I know you could spend the rest of the day explaining to us how those in control write all the laws. It's true. Those in control write the laws. Those in control determine what goes into our history books. Right now, our State Board of Education in Texas is notorious and has been for the last two decades about what goes into our science textbooks and explaining things. Would it be evidence-based science? Or would it be supernatural beliefs, religious beliefs on explaining the world? But whoever's in control determines what goes in, who our heroes are and our heroines, what the big issues are, what's worth fighting for, what we've won and lost. All that is determined by those in control today. They determine the past. And then in the past, we have the pattern for projecting the future. If you believe these things, let me give you an example. We had a candidate in the last presidential election that said, "Let's make America great again." Now, the key is again. That means it's not right now, but there was a time when it was even better than it is now. When was that time? Tell us what time you're talking about. When it was just great that we're not so great now. I saw in the morning paper that people in this country alone gave $390 billion to charity last year, more than most countries have to run their entire country. And we just gave that of our own volition. We gave it to charities, $394 billion. So those who are controlling the past will say, okay, we want candidates who will be tomorrow's leaders to reflect these past glories. So you have to think in terms of controlling your past and your present and your future. I remember one of the last graduate courses I took had to do with, it combined the medical university and the arts and sciences. I was a linguistics major, and the big research topic that particular time was biochemistry of the brain. Scientists had just discovered the brain and the fact that nobody knows how it works, and so it's all kinds of questions that needed answers. So our fairly small linguistics class were asked to come over to the medical university at Vanderbilt, and they had a man there who had developed a small benign tumor right under his scalp. It was not a threat, but it needed to be taken out. So they invited us to come and watch because they were going to try to do some research on biochemistry of the brain. So we went there and had to don the mask and jackets and all that and observe. We weren't allowed to participate. But they had surgeons there, and they planned to just sort of saw a little circle out of his brain and remove the tumor and do some experimenting and put it back. And so they proceeded to do that. And it's interesting, something we had never thought about, but the major surgeon explained that the brain cannot tell itself that it hurts. It can tell you that your left elbow itches, you need to scratch your left elbow. Or, oh, you stubbed your toe and it's going to hurt for a bit, but then I'll lighten up on it. But it's always telling you, but it cannot tell itself. So the man was conscious the entire time because he did not feel any pain, although his brain was exposed. They just did a local anesthetic to make sure when he took off part of his scalp that he wouldn't feel anything. And he was awake. The patient was awake the entire time. So the surgeons did that. They removed the little circle of his scalp and put it aside and immediately took out the problem there. And that took less than 2 minutes. But then a small part of his brain was exposed. And they had a tiny electrical probe. And they kept saying, now, are you okay? He said, I feel perfectly fine, feel nothing. And the surgeon said, now tell me what happens when I touch your brain with this probe. And he touched, and they had big magnifying mirrors and cameras and all that so that we could see from the gallery. And he said, what happens when I touch this? What do you see? And the man said, I can't believe it. I'm in a little town in La Jolla, Missouri, to visit my married daughter and my 10-year-old grandson who was born on the 4th of July, and we're at a parade. Listen to the music. Do you hear that music? And the surgeon took away the thing and moved the probe just a tiny bit to the right and touched his brain again and said, now what do you feel? I just don't feel too good. I don't know what it is, but I think I ate too much. He was talking about something that he couldn't identify by time or place, but he could identify the feeling. So the surgeon, a little more to the right, he said, now what do you feel? He said, 11th grade, Nashville High School, I just saw Betty for the first time in my life. She just said, she's looking at me too, first time, his wife, 11th grade. And so the surgeon moved it back to the original part of the brain and touched, and he said, now what do you feel? He said, I am visiting my married daughter in La Jolla, Missouri. My grandson is born on the 4th of July. We're watching a parade. Listen to that. Can you hear the music? And finally, we closed him back up, and it was very successful. But you have to ask, how do we capture moments and memories? Remember Jim Croce? He was a popular singer years ago. He had a very successful song, which Paul played for us. If I had time in a bottle. If I had time in a bottle. Well, it would be wonderful if we could do that. Instead of a dime store, if we had a time store, and you go in and say, I would like to buy 15 minutes of 2003 Springtime. And so you do that, and you open it up, and you say, there are certain things I wanted to say back then that I didn't say, and this will give me a chance to do it. Or I'd like to buy 2 hours of time year before last because something happened, and I wanted to tell this person something that I've just regretted not saying, and I'll be able to do that. But you can't do that, can we? Time is gone. And it's always changing. You wonder, in a way, our brain serves that purpose. We can, in a sense, save time in a bottle. It's called the brain, and it's in terms of memories. And we can put things up there. And sometimes the brain will say, I'm not going to linger with that very long, and probably tomorrow you won't even remember it. And others, that's a keeper. You will have that memory forever. And some of them would, it would be nice to say, well, I just don't want to remember that ever again. I hope I never remember that. I'm sure your mom would, in working with her clients in counseling, would be helped a lot if some people could be helped forget things permanently. But things keep coming back. we can't totally control our brains. It can, to a great deal, we can, but then at some point it'll say, you're going to have to get a reminder, because I'm not going to, you ask a certain person, remember, who was that, what was the name of that lady who helped us with tickets and something? Oh, I don't know, let me just think, and you think and think, oh, I remember now. Well, sometimes the brain allows that, and sometimes there's a complete wipeout, and sometimes in the middle of every day, a memory will come out of nowhere, and the brain is playing. It does what it does, and nobody knows exactly what that is. But this that brings me to my third reminder. In a world where the winds of change are always gusting, hang on to your dreams, because they are the only things in life that you truly control.